I just want to give a deep and warm welcome to everyone this evening. Welcome to our launch of the Clear Light Calls, and just extending my heart out to each of you. We have a wonderful group starting to gather here. People are still arriving. I just wanted to give a brief introduction. My name is Molly Rowan, and again, on behalf of Shiva and the Clear Light community, it's just really beautiful to be here with you all tonight. And again, this is the inaugural launch of our weekly Clear Light Calls. And tonight's theme is the four aspects of creating a happy and conscious life. And for the next 4 weeks, we will be exploring the creative process inherent in our universe and in ourselves as individuals. I also would just like to say that tonight is just a beautiful gesture towards finding ways for us to resonate and connect as a community, even when we aren't able to do so in person logistically. So we invite you all to join us weekly, as these will be ongoing each Monday evening at the same time. And if you're so moved to sign up as a monthly Dharma supporter, the calls will always be free of charge or free of a Dharma donation. And also, if you can't make every week, you can opt in as you go. Additionally, just wanted to mention that we have a beautiful new website and can also connect with us, as you may already know, at Facebook and Twitter. The new website address is clearlightcommunity.com. If you would like to also stay connected with Shiva, please make sure to sign up for the e-newsletter, which is on the landing page of the site. And also, Shiva is actively blogging and has a recent blog from the spring equinox, which is rather powerful and pertinent from the experience in Silver Falls and just a deep reflection on our global moment here, individually and planetarily. So we invite you to check back often to the website blog for updates that will be rather frequent. And just want to say thank you to Jen Davison and to Xander, to Jeremy and Joey and Anne Tillery and Jim Cohee and Joey Bloom and Jeremy Bennett, and all of the community here tonight for everything that has been put into this circle over the years. And this feels like something very special that we're launching tonight. So finally, just a few comments about this maestro room that we're in together. This room, there's a few things to know. During the meditation, your line will be muted, but during the question and answer period of the call, you will have the opportunity, of course, to interact, dialogue, ask questions, and reflect with Shiva. And then at the very end, towards the quarter to the hour, we will open the lines fully for a period of reflections, sharings, and further questions. Finally, it's just a deep honor to introduce you now to this amazing woman, a familiar voice and heart, who has been probably familiar to many of you, I'm guessing, who has been sitting with Shiva for over 15 years, Jen Davison. And she'll be offering a few words about Shiva, and then we'll have Shiva join us. Jen?
Thank you, Molly. It's my honor, and I'm humbled and honored to be here and to be able to share my perspective. I've been sitting with Shiva, like Molly said, for on and off for about 16 years, and through that time, spending with Shiva, his given name is Tony, I've come to realize for myself three main teachings or offerings that Shiva provides. And I would like to share that perspective with you tonight by way of introduction. The first offering I believe that Shiva brings in his teaching is a powerful kaleidoscope of traditions that he calls upon and weaves them together to explain core concepts in the enlightenment process and spiritual awakening and living a joyful and conscious life. Brings together Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism and Toltec mysticism, among others. And this style of teaching, I believe, is a koan in itself, in that the mind grabs onto these structures individually and even more so in combination. And through that process of reconciling these traditions, self-identification starts to crack. And the ego starts to fall away, and the Dharmakaya, the clear light of reality, can come through. This, I believe, is Shiva's second offering, is his transmission of pure, undifferentiated reality, universal consciousness. And we are surrounded by this energy. We are this energy. But Shiva can conduct this, and it flows through him to everyone in his vicinity who has that open heart, that crack in their self-identification. Do with what they will. And the third offering that I believe that Shiva brings in his teaching is an expansive capacity for love and compassion, for humor and for fun. And this sparkles in his meditations and his teachings, and it absolutely shines in his retreats and intensives. These gifts I'm humbled to receive every time I sit with Shiva, and it's my great pleasure to witness this process with all of you tonight. And I'd now like to introduce Shiva, who will bring us into meditation.
Thank you, Jen. First of all, this is our inaugural meditation, and for many years, it's been kind of frustrating for me that I could not sit with everyone at the same time. I have people who I've sat with and love who are scattered throughout the country. And so this is our first attempt to become what my teacher referred to as an electronic tribe. We can connect with each other through today's media. And hopefully soon we'll actually be able to do this in streaming live over the internet. We're working on that. One of the things that I wanted to say was that this evening is not about me or about even the community. This really is about you. It's about each one of you. And what we do here is we try to reach deep within ourselves to touch that eternal bliss, that eternal peace that is within each one of us. And what I would like us to do this evening is to do a meditation practice, and I'm going to give a meditation practice that we will all practice together every week. And I may change it a little bit from time to time. But this evening, I want us to just start right with the heart. I'd like for you to close your eyes and just think about the center of your chest, your heart chakra. And this is a beautiful place. This is the gateway between the upper and the lower. It is the psychic center. It is the beautiful seat of the soul. And the heart chakra is surrounded on both sides by these lungs. And so it's appropriate that the heart chakra's mantra is like an exhale with the mouth open. And so I'm going to do this mantra a few times, and I'd like for you to just on your own breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth and focus intently on your heart and visualize it opening up. You're not opening it up to me, you're opening it up to eternity, and that's a very safe place to go. But right now, just focus on your heart. Breathe in. Breathe out. Now just stay in your heart for a second. Open it to the light. Smile. That's it. Surrender into the light. Now then, slowly, slowly open your eyes and settle into the room. This world is so beautiful. I think we lose track of that sometimes. Sometimes we forget. We get caught up in the news. We get caught up in things that are going on around us. Perhaps we even get caught up in mindsets that we were raised with. But there's a change going on in the world today. There's a huge worldwide spiritual awakening that's taking place. You look at the news, you see it. People aren't, they really don't know how to deal with this energy right now. And I think those of you that are on this call are seeking to know how to deal with that energy. It's a good thing. The world is going through a wonderful transformation. It's going from a very deep, dark place that it's been for thousands of years. And now it's moving into light. And the change is profound. The change within us needs to equally be profound. It's time to step up to the occasion, to not buy into the fear, and to let go of any attempts by ourselves or for others to try to control, dominate, or manipulate this energy. This energy does not need to be controlled or dominated or manipulated. And there certainly isn't anything to fear from it. It is the enlightenment process waking up on the earth. How precious is that? How precious are you? You are an eternal being that has taken up residence inside this body. It's a body of pure that really is made up of pure light, but it manifests itself. It manifests itself in the various organs and in the various, you know, circulatory and respiratory, all the different things that make up a human body and make it so absolutely amazing. And that's where your soul resides. And it's inside a body that is always changing. Every day it changes, and every year it changes, and life is one of expressive and beautiful transitory existence. We're only here for a while. But the essential us, the essential part of us, our higher self, is always going to be here. It will always be here. And that's the beautiful part of the enlightenment process, is to realize that the eternal light just is having a wonderful time creating and manifesting itself in every way. You look out in this world and you see everyone on this planet is creating a different reality. And as we awaken and we come away from the fear and all of the things that we have been taught and the ways of being that we have been taught and raised with in this society and our family and just about every area, we can move into a new way of being, a new way of creating, a new way of expressing, a way of liberation. And that is the way of light and enlightenment. And it's easy. You can do it. It's right here inside your heart. Once you let go of the fear, things start to become a lot easier. And then when you learn to surrender and to have compassion and to forgive and to do all of the things that we know to do that's right, that is what we could call the Dharma, then our life starts to change. You go into a restaurant, you sit down to have a cup of coffee or tea, and if you look around, you'll see that the room is probably going to appear almost exactly the same to everyone in the restaurant. Taking into account maybe some people might be colorblind, but generally, everyone will see the same room. We'll measure it, can agree on the temperature. But the reality of it is everybody's having a different experience. People who are in love see the room differently than someone who's just lost a pet. Someone who's lost a job would view that room differently than someone who's just got a job after being out of work. We are in this creation, and we in ourselves create our own view of it. And that view is tempered by a lot of different things. It's tempered by our fear. It's tempered by our joy. How do you view life? And what we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks after this is creating a beautiful life, creating a way of living life in a most joyous and happy way, a way that may be a little different than what you're used to, but one that will set you free. And that freedom is found right here, right in that very first meditation, right there inside your heart. Close your eyes and go into your heart again. Can you just be there? Open it. Surrender to it. Let it become more than your thoughts. Let that love that's inside of you dare to express. Surrender. Go. It's time to let go of the fear. You know, I quit watching the news because it's all fear-based. And when they're not trying to make you afraid, they're trying to get you angry. And these are states of mind that we just don't need to get into. They're not good for us, and they don't advance us, and they don't really do the world any good. We need to become more compassionate, more loving toward each other. That's the new way. The golden age is not going to be based upon fear, control, domination, or manipulation. It's going to be based on the opposite. And it's kind of difficult sometimes for us to imagine what that would be like because we were raised in an atmosphere that has those four things as the predominant operating system. It's hard to imagine what it would be like to live a life free of manipulation and of manipulating. It's hard to live, to imagine surrendering. Surrendering. It's hard to imagine what it'd be like not to be in control. or have to have somebody control you to be free, free of yourself and free of others. And to live a life devoid of fear, no fear. Can you imagine that? At first it may be a little difficult, but I think you'll find that it becomes a little easier as you learn it. It's a learned process. We are one in spirit. We are one with eternity. There is no separation in any of this. It is yoga. It is union. It is perfection. It is enlightenment, manifesting itself in everything and in everyone. But we can make ourselves free. We can live an incredibly wonderful life. And that is our destiny. That's why we incarnated during this time. This is not a punishment. I firmly believe that each one of us that's on this call today had to bribe the gatekeeper in order to incarnate now. This is a wonderful time to be awake. This is a wonderful time to wake up. It's a wonderful time to be of service. It's transformation that is just absolutely amazing in every area we look at. We must take the energy that this world is pushing out right now, the spiritual awakening, and put it into new bottles, into new ways. You can't take this energy and put it back into the old. It will backfire every time. Put it into the new bottles, the bottles of compassion, the bottles of surrender, the bottles of peace, the bottles of love, the bottles of forgiveness, bottles of joy, happiness, and friendship. We can do it together. And for that, know the truth, and it set us free. I'd like to meditate with you just a little bit, and we'll move this into a new level here. So just close your eyes and go to your heart. And I'm going to put a little transmission in the meditation now. Open your heart. Very good. As we finish up this right now, I'd like for you to slowly open your eyes. And I think there's a number that you can push on your phone. You can ask a question, and I'll have Molly put you on if you have a question or a comment.
Thank you, Shiva. That would be just to press 1 when you're ready. go ahead and press 1 when you're ready. And go ahead and Jeremy.
Yes. Bali, Shiva, how are you both doing?
Doing great. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, the thing that came to mind is, and first of all, I want to say thank you. That was a really touching meditation. A question I had is there perhaps a technique that someone could use if they're feeling like in a point of fear? That they could use on a daily basis to be able to just transmute and release that?
You know, excuse me. I think fear is one of those things that you need to examine. Excuse me, something in my throat here. One of the things that I have understood to be truth in the enlightenment process is that there is no fear in enlightenment. It's kind of a strange thing to imagine, but there is no fear. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not responsible and that you're not aware of your actions or that you don't do foolhardy things, because that would be a dharma. Because one of the things that we do, that we practice, is that we practice the concept of do no harm. So we would not do harm to ourselves in this process. And we certainly don't want to do harm to anyone else. So when you let go of that, then you realize there's really no need for fear. What is fear? And you need, as you look down, everyone has a different fear. They have and usually it's a fear of either losing control, maybe control of your mind or your emotions, or it's a fear of if you do something, let your guard down, somebody's going to hurt you. So you've had painful experiences. There's a lot of reasons for fear. But you need to maybe list your fears out. This is what I did. I made a list of my fears. One of them happened to be a fear of heights. And I slowly started to confront my fear. I started to go up high skyscrapers and look out over the edge. And it was scary. And then one summer I went to one of them water parks, and they had a water slide called Der Stuka in Las Vegas many years ago. And it was a slide that went down 7 stories into a little bitty pool at the bottom. And for me to climb up to the top of that was harrowing. And I got to the top, and I started watching these little kids just come up and jump off and go down the slide. And I was sitting, I was scared. And then the kid would run up the stairs and do it again. And I thought, you know, here's an 8-year-old boy that's done this 3 times while I've been sitting here shaking in my boots. So I just went up, and I thought, if he did it, I can do it. And I jumped off, and I slid down, and I hit the bottom, and I didn't die. Got a lot of water up my nose, but I didn't die. And I immediately got out of the pool and went up to the top, and I did it 3 times. I overcame my fear of heights. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stand on the edge of a building when the wind is blowing and I could maybe lose balance and fall. That wouldn't be right. But I don't have a fear of heights anymore. And it doesn't petrify me. It doesn't cause me to just stand still. So I think it's good to get control of your fears and to start confronting them. If it's a fear of spiders, then you might start out with reading up on spiders and then ones that don't bite, like daddy long legs, and then start, you know, having them be around you. You know, you can start working on your fears, but you need to overcome them. Doesn't mean that you need to be foolhardy, but you need to overcome your fears. There's no fear in enlightenment. And then the biggest fear of all that you will overcome will be the fear of the loss of self. It's the loss of the ego that most people identify as who they are. They think that they are what their ego has defined itself as being. It's their name, it's their family, it's all of that stuff. And their higher self is much more than that. And when you let go of that final fear, the fear of letting go of yourself, when you can finally manage that one, you move into such an expansive way, into such a new way that it's very difficult to explain it to people. It's almost as if you're walking out of a very dark room through a door into this beautiful sunny afternoon. And it's hard to explain that to people who are still locked up in the dark room, how incredible that is. But you try. That's what I do. But you just have to keep working with fear. And then the other thing is when you find you're around people who are, there are a lot of people who base their life on fear. That's one of their self-definitions. So just try not to be around people like that. And if they happen to be, you know, your parents or something like that, then you just realize you don't need to buy into their stuff. And like I say, for me, I quit watching the news. Because it's what's not fear-based is geared up to make you angry. And they'll throw a couple of little things in every now and then to make you feel good. And then they'll top it right back off with, you know, radiation poisoning or some atrocity that's going on. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware of what's going on in the world, but we don't need to just sit and wallow in it. I get my news from the internet. Read what's going on. I try to keep away from the opinions. I just see what's going on and I meditate. And I see light in everything, and I try my best to see God in all of creation. And sometimes it's a little difficult. If you go deep enough, you'll find it. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
I've talked a long time. Thank you, Jeremy. Anyone else?
Hello, Shiva.
Yes.
This is Ramananda.
Oh, Ramananda. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing really, really well. I had my suspicions about the community call. If the energy could be transmitted this way. But then I remembered about meditation we had in a Holiday Inn, and your teacher checked in with us at, I think it was 7 o'clock, and the energy was, you know, blew you away. And so the meditation that you did was, yeah, it works.
Thank you.
My question is, you know, you speak of the reality of God. What is your concept of God? Who, what, when, where? I know where.
Oh, gosh, this gets into a whole new bag here.
Not an easy question, I know.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, though, because I talk about God a lot, and everybody has God. When you talk about God, it's kind of like, you say, well, I have a car. And then everybody has a different idea of what kind of car it is. Some might be a, you know, like a Geo Metro, or it might be a Cadillac, or it could be a, you know, it could be any kind of car. And so when we talk about God, everybody has a different view of God. And a lot of that has to do with where they are inside their heart. It's an interesting concept here. And I'll just put this out real quick. This will be a koan for everybody, for you to think about. Okay, so try to stay with me. The heart, there are 7 chakras starting at the root, going up to the heart, and 3 above the heart. There are 3 below, 3 above, and the heart's in the center. And the heart itself has 3 quadrants. It has the lower heart, which is associated with the lower chakras. And that heart is full of conditional love. It's very emotional, it's very ecstatic, it's very beautiful. I mean, who doesn't like infatuation? Who doesn't like that kind of love? But it is a love that has jealousy, it's a love that has a lot of conditions. And you can really get hurt there. There's a lot of pain as well as pleasure involved in that part of the heart because it's associated with the lower chakras. The chakras that are below the heart have to do with the world, with the mundane world. And then you have your middle heart, which is the center, and that's your parenting heart, or that's the grandparent heart. That's the heart that loves everyone and everything. It just cannot stop loving. However, it's always trying to make changes. It's always trying to improve. You know, it's trying to get the child to do its homework. It's trying to correct bad behavior. It's always trying to teach. A lot of spiritual teachers are in the middle of the heart, and it's a good place to be. And then there's the high heart, which is divine love, and it's up closer to the collarbone. And that has completely unconditional love, and it is almost unemotional. It's just love. Love without condition, love without thought, love without parameters. It is divine love. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because people view God through what part of their heart they're in. If they are coming from the lower, then their God will be a God that's jealous and angry at times and very conditional and punishes, you know, wrongdoers. If they're in the middle heart, then they're kind of in a higher, more all-loving space, but it's still in a space where you're demanding changes, and their God would demand that. But if you move up into the high heart, oh my. That's my God. That's my God. So it just depends on where you're at. But each one has its own part, and if you look at the religions and you look at people, you see it just depends on what part of the heart that they're viewing God from. And they create a God from that part of their being. And we're amazing. You know, we're amazing spiritual beings. We go on forever, and we are really connected. We really are. And so that's one of those things you can think about. You know, and we can address this later on, but that's a koan. I want you to just contemplate that. Contemplate the three areas of the heart. Go there and meditate. Spend some time in each area and see what it feels like. When you're in the lower heart, it's going to feel really great. I mean, you get tears in your eyes when you're there. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, you see, spring is coming up. You'll see it in the young people in the parks. You know, they're just full of love, and they just can't get their hands off of each other. And then you have the parents watching them, you know, are you kids, settle down, you know. And then you have the divine love, which just sees it all. So that's where I'm at. I hope that helped you out a little bit.
It did, yes. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, I think... let me look at the time here.
I think we have time for one more, if you're willing to. There's anyone else? I believe we have a few more minutes. If there's anyone else that does have a question, if that's what you would like, Shiva.
I think what would be good is for people that are on this, sometimes, you know, you're listening and you just don't feel like talking. You have questions later. It would really be good if you'd email me and ask me questions about that have come up maybe even after we're off the phone. And I'll address those next Monday. Or, you know, if necessary, I'll address them right away. I'm always here for you. I'm an available teacher. I do what I can to spread the Dharma. And I realize that our time here is precious. And there is nothing more valuable than we have in each other. We are the most precious beings that we have. So if you have questions or if you have something that's bothering you or a concern, email me, and I'll certainly work with you. That's what my job is. as I said when we started this evening, this is not about me, this is about you. And that's what the Clear Light community is all about. It's about people who love each other, who care about each other, who support each other, who laugh and dance with each other. It's not...
Eva, I believe we have one other person with a question.
Okay.
Jan, go ahead.
Thank you. I this might need to be addressed next time because it might be kind of big. But okay. I was wondering about destruction as an aspect or complementary to creation.
Well, you're asking Shiva.
I know.
The thing that we have, creation needs change. And we sometimes say destruction, but destruction has a negative meaning. It has almost like a vandalizing or a painful thing, but it's not necessarily the case. It's more of a yin and yang. The yang, or the out-breath, is our perception or our putting out into the universe. The intake breath is the yin, that breath that we bring in to our being. If you were meditating and you imagine the breath as being a wheel, the exhale would be at the top of the wheel, it goes down, the breath stops, then you start the inhale at the bottom of the wheel, and it comes up into the heart, and then out again. It's the wheel of breath. And it doesn't mean that the spiritual is more important than the physical, or that the physical is more important than the spiritual. They really need to be brought together. Everything that is in the lower needs to be taken into the higher. And everything that's in the higher needs to be taken down into the lower. It's called a tantric maneuver. But the creation and destruction, or the transitory nature of existence, is what creation is all about. One moment is created, and then it is destroyed, so that the next moment can happen. If you want to experience hell, just find something and do it for a very long time. Hell is the experience of stagnation. It's maybe getting caught up in the beauty of, I don't know, imagine, you know, the most wonderful thing you can do. I don't know, it can be anything, riding a motorcycle. Riding a motorcycle can be a wonderful experience. But if you're on it for 10 or 12 hours, it's not so much fun. So we need the yin and the yang. We need the out and we need the in. We need the up as much as we need the down. We have happiness and we have sadness. But through it all, we have life. And to have life without sadness detracts from the happiness. If you have death, you really appreciate life. You really do. And I don't think there's anybody that's ever been to a funeral that didn't recognize as they were walking away from the graveside just how incredible life is and how precious we are to each other. And I think that we need all of these experiences. A lot of times we think heaven is just getting rid of all of our pain or getting rid of all those things we don't like. But I think it's more than that. I think it's seeing the beauty in all of life. It's understanding the four seasons and knowing that when the leaves die, it's a good thing, and that the winter is a good thing, and that the spring is wonderful, and that the summer is amazing. And no matter what season we're in, we seek the perfection of that season. And that's what I try to get people to do. So there is destruction. There are things that are going to go, but in order for things new to come, you have to make room. And I see a huge spiritual awakening happening in the world right now. And some people are taking that beautiful, absolutely amazing energy, and they're running it through fear and control and domination and manipulation, and it's just going to backfire on them because it can't be used that way without consequences. And those of us that are awake, that know what to do, have the responsibility of being a midwife during this pregnancy and this birth. And the water just broke. The labor is about to begin. And this is our time as spiritual people to not fall into the panic and not buy into the fear and not buy into all of that stuff that the world is trying to get us to believe. I had a psychic tell me there's going to be a huge earthquake up in Alaska. And my response was, so? It's not that people won't have they're going to have an interesting experience, but that's what life is about. This world is what it is. I won't change it. But what I do want to do is I want to walk into the restaurant, and I don't want to be so full of fear or anger or feel like I have to control everybody and everything around me that I miss out on, you know, the special of the day. You know? It's a beautiful world. Drink it. You know, I have, in the past, you've gone with me, and we've gone to the Grand Canyon, we've gone to Arches, we've gone to some of these amazing places. And we didn't just go there and look at them. We sat down and we meditated. We drank deeply of each place. We really drank deep, bringing the essence of what that place was and the energy of the place and what it would do for us spiritually, what its gift to us was, and we would come away from it. We weren't just tourists, we were participants. And that's how we need to approach everything in life, especially at this time of great awakening. And this is, as I've said, I think now five times, this is a time of worldwide spiritual awakening. It's a very exciting time to be alive. It's what we came here for. And you're doing just great. Don't buy into the fear, and don't buy into the judgment. It's all going to be fine. And if the world destroys itself tomorrow and we all die, I will be the first one to come up to you and say, I think I could have been wrong. But you will never die. You're eternal. We all are. This is one world. There are billions. And love ties it all together. If you could just see it, you'd see that. Did you get that?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I can see that you're in a position where of knowledge, and that knowledge is being wrung through a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. And it has a lot of data to back it up. But I'm telling you, things can have all the data in the world and the rationality and the logic to make it appear right and it not be. And I'm telling you, it's going to be different. Smile and just be the answer. Don't be the problem. You're going to make it fine. Okay? All right.
Very much.
I'm going to sign off now. And I want to thank everybody that's joining us. We will be coming back every week. The first week in every month will be free. The rest of the week there will be some charges, and that's to help our Clear Light community grow, to help allow us to do things to get people to better meet people's needs. And I want to thank all of you here, and I hope that you will make this a regular part of your experience. I love sitting with all of you. And if you have any questions or comments, please email me. I would love to read your emails, and I'll get back to you. With that being said, namaste.
Thank you. Namaste. Namaste, Shiva. And just in addition, to remind those of you who might be moved to join the monthly Dharma program that the calls will be free, ongoing. And I'd just like to hand it over to Jen to open up the circle tonight for further discussion and reflection. And I'll be unmuting our lines. If there is any feedback on your line, I might need to remute. But other than that, we do have an open circle now. And Jen, take it away.
Thank you very much, Molly. I just want to thank you so much for convening this space and holding it for us. I'll start out just by mentioning the topics that Shiva might cover in the next 3 weeks. That this is the theme is the four aspects of creation, and so we'll be exploring why and how we each have our own creative reality and the uniqueness that that is. We'll be exploring how to change certain things in our lives through positive visualizations and will and intention. Exploring the idea that every word is casting a spell. And we'll be looking at that there are plenty of things, of course, that will remain beyond our ability to control. Finally, we'll be exploring the idea of discrimination and surrendering to the higher self and making that focus the most important creative task that we can undertake. Anyone has questions about tonight or anything else, feel free to speak up.
Jen, can we just also mention, please, Shiva's email so that for people who do want to email him that may not have it,
sure.
Let them know.
Yes. So we have an email address, clearlightcommunity@gmail.com, which you can find on the website as well. I believe we might be making an email address for Shiva linked to that website, but right now, if you have spiritual questions to talk to Shiva about the teacher, use the email shivais@earthlink.net. If you have questions about the organization, please email clearlightcommunity@gmail.com.
And so anyone with a question at this time, the lines are open, but let's still go ahead and press 1 on our keypad for if we do have a comment or a question or a reflection. Go ahead, Sander.
Hey, wanted to pass along my thanks and appreciation to Molly and Jen for the work that they've done to make this happen, to bring this into fruition, and it's a nice start. Thank you very much.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun.
I still have the image in my mind of Shiva going down the 7-story slide. Does anyone else have a reflection or a question, comment tonight? Okay. Well, just Jen, would you like to go ahead and wrap things up this evening with any closing comments, words? About next week, or I guess one thing I'd like to quickly mention is that Shiva will be in San Francisco Bay Area April 4th, I believe, and then the third week as well of April. And then on an ongoing basis, he'll be in both San Francisco, monthly ongoing basis, both San Francisco and Portland, as well as other communities. So hopefully get to connect again soon in person. Go ahead, Jen, with Anything you'd like to say in closing?
So I just want to point you again to the new website, clearlightcommunity.com. You can read Shiva's insights. You can email us, and you can keep check out the calendar. And I want to express my deep gratitude and respect and affection for all of you. And I'm very grateful that we got to do this. And I'm very excited about this teleconferencing thing. I agree with Ken Ramananda. It works. You know, there's definitely a transmission there. I hope to see you all again in this room next week. A wonderful week. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, everyone. And as we're going off the call, if you want to say namaste, your lines are clear to do so.
Namaste.
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 Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Shiva?
Yes. Yes.
You're still there.
Yeah.
Everybody has left, except for you and me.
Okay. Well, I wanted to kind of... I think what we need to do is... was David on? No, David wasn't on tonight, I don't think, was he?
He actually did make it. He was there. And so was Anne.
We need to get some feedback as to what we can do better. Maybe there might have been pauses or something that we need to do a little bit better, tighten up a little bit. But I thought it went pretty well. I'll try to stay more on purpose. You know, it was difficult for me as I was tuning in on everybody to stay on purpose, but as Jen lined out the thing, I think as the weeks go on, I will be better at that. I will try to stay more on purpose. And
I thought you did a wonderful job, Shiva. And, you know, on other calls that I definitely want feedback from Ann and David, of course, and anyone else. But I felt from my perspective on other calls that I've been on that this was very deep and really a wonderful start. And, you know, some pauses will happen when questions...
I understand that. Yeah, I think it's the idea that, and I don't know. You know, it sounded great to me. I just would like to hear what other people say that, because I've done things in the past that I thought were absolutely amazing, and then Anne would say, "Yeah, but then you got this." and you know, that's why we are so fortunate right now in this team thing is that we have people like Anne,
right,
and Dave,
of course,
and myself. And I think. Well, we just need to polish. I want this thing really polished up, and I want to become as polished as I can in this media. And we're just, because as I get polished here, it prepares me for the next step. How many people actually ended up with the call tonight?
19. Uh huh.
Okay. Yep. I would like a list of everyone that actually was on the call that actually did call in, and
I'll send it right to you.
I appreciate that, sweetie. Anything else comes up, we're working on this. I've been working a lot on getting on moving everything to the next level and in just about every way. And I wanted to say that I appreciate you, and I really support what David and Anne and you are doing. And there's always going to be some that want to push back and do it the old way or try to kind of hold back, and they're trying to put the new wine in old bottles. I don't think that's going to work.
Mm.
And so just know that you are appreciated and that things... I took the liberty of throwing an I Ching on you and Clear Light Community, and the reading was very auspicious. Very, very good. So I think that's where we need to just hold it right now and hold that, you know, your life is going to move forward in an amazing way as will mine. And this whole community is going to be just a beautiful thing. And it is a beautiful thing. It absolutely is. I mean, the people that I saw there tonight were just really, really amazing. And it was so beautiful. Mm. So thank you so much. We'll continue seeing what we can do on a weekly basis to, you know, anything I can do to polish it up. Maybe I might even get a different microphone or something. I don't know how this was going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did play a little bit of music in the background. I don't know if you were able to pick that up, because it helped
it
me.
Did,
but
it barely picked up, and that was the one thing that I was thinking we would probably want to play with a little, because it didn't sound quite right. But it wasn't distracting, Shiva, to me.
Well,
I felt this, even though I was running the dashboard, I went in very deeply and really felt it, and I feel like you know, it'll just keep getting better all the time, and then once we get our video implemented, it's just going to keep moving. And I'm here to be of service, and I'm really grateful that I got to sit with you tonight,
service
because
and your attitude and everything. I think you're a wonderful part of this, and it's just been you've been one of the things that's made this whole experience so amazing. So thank you very much. And I look forward to getting feedback from everyone. And anything I can do to make it better, I'm willing to do whatever I can.
Likewise.
So.
Likewise.
All right.
You're right. We have a wonderful group of amazing perspectives and really deeply outstanding levels of professionalism. And I know that we will continue to fine-tune and hone in. And
right.
But tonight, again, to me, was a great success for its initial
I thought
offering.
It went really well for you know, for us to, who have never done it before, you know.
Well, and I've done a ton of these kinds of things, either participating that's why I want you to know I'm speaking from experience here. I'm not just, you know, I'm not just saying it because, you know, and I wouldn't just say it anyway. I think you know that
I know that.
I'm pretty straightforward.
That's what I appreciate about you. It's true. You know, it's,
yeah, and don't you worry. You know what, Shiva? If people are going to push back and need to go through the old, you know, they're afraid of the new, you know, that's to be expected. Look at where our world is. That's just the way it goes. And I trust that this isn't about me. I know that, and it's not about any of us. It's about the transmission and what's coming through for the good of all. So,
that's
from
exactly
that perspective,
right.
You know, I'll be of service. And if for some reason at some point it seems like something else is more appropriate, great. All the more power to the collective.
I'm kind of leaning toward the thing as I don't need to. In the past, I have stepped in and tried to control and dominate, manipulate things.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And
you've said that many times, that that's been...
Yeah. And I have to just stop, because that didn't work. It never worked that well for me, and it certainly wouldn't work now. But I know what does work is for me to hold the consciousness, for me to know that everyone and everything is working perfectly for the Dharma.
Mm.
And that there's new things coming out that weren't possible. There are some people that were so used to me doing certain things for 20, 30 years that they think I should continue doing it. And I was talking to my son, Chad, and he was pretty upset. He says, they wouldn't ask Gangaji to do that. They wouldn't ask Rama to do that. Why are they asking you to do that? And that was, you know, like to make my own travel plans and things of that nature. And he was very upset about it. And
mm-hmm.
I said, things are changing. And some people, they're used to the old. They don't see a need to have it because it was done before. But what I have said many times, yeah, it was done before, but it didn't work.
Right.
And what we're doing
right
now, it could be said, well, you only had five at the event, you lost, you know, $1,000 and all of this other stuff. And I'm going, it's different now. I look at the website, it's different. Everything is different. It's much higher. It's much more professional.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more together. And you can't just say, oh, we're going to build a new ship, or, you know, and then the first time you get it out in the port, the engine dies. You say, well, let's just sink the ship. No, you go back in, you work on it, because it's a new ship.
Right.
You know? And we are going to make this thing work, and I have wonderful people that the universe has given to me, and I'm supporting them, and I know that they will be supported by the universe. And I know one thing, that I feel personally, that you need to make enough money that you don't have to choose between, you know, not coming to a retreat or to have a...
Because that's
like
how it was, you know, my dear. I told Jen this, too. She understood.
Yeah.
I would have been there at Silver Falls if I would have just been covered on the expenses. That was the only thing that kept me from coming, you know.
If I had known in time.
But I just didn't want to push anybody, you know. I didn't want to push David. He's been so generous anyway.
No, you don't have to.
And,
but you know what I'm saying is, let me make one thing clear here, young lady. You're important to me. I love you. And if you think that, you know, if there's something comes up, you let me know in time, and if I can do it, I have done it many times in the past, I will get you there, because it was very important for you to be there. I wanted you there, and I would have paid it myself.
Okay, well, all right.
And that's just the way it is. It's like if you're in a marriage, you know, you do things for your partner, but your partner's got to let you know. They can't just...
Right, exactly. You can't make inferences.
Yeah,
and so I could have been more verbal about it. I know. I claim responsibility for that.
I would have definitely got you there.
Yeah.
And so let's just, I want you to know that I feel very strongly about that. And you need to trust me. You need to kind of
I fully do.
Here. And I will do whatever. And if I can't do it, then I can't do it.
Right.
But I will.
Right. You'll tell me. It's not a matter of not trusting. It was just a matter of wanting to respect, you know, being kind of new on the team and just not wanting to push it because of some of the questions that we were living about
this,
finances.
This,
so.
Well,
we'll
worry.
I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, you learned your lesson, and don't you forget it, young lady.
Well, and so have you, and so have we all, because it doesn't make any sense for me not to be it.
I love you very much, and I want, you know, like anyone, I want people around me that I love. Who doesn't? And so let's just, we're just going to move ahead. And
I have a question for you,
yeah,
speaking of moving
sure.
ahead. Forgive me for being so irreverent.
Sure.
But the idea that David and I came up with the other night, and I wanted to see what your feel is on this, was for me to fly out to Portland when you're there in May. And
mm-hmm.
for us to think about having, and David said he would fly me there. And at that point, I'll be in Crestone, Colorado.
Oh,
I'm moving there. I'm moving to Crestone. I don't think I shared that with you.
Yeah, you mentioned something about it. Is there any particular reason, or are you just being drawn by the land?
I'm drawn by multiple things. My business partner lives there. I love the land. I love the community there. There's 25 different spiritual lineages there.
Wow.
And he's one of my best friends, as well as he's my business partner. And so
sounds wonderful. All the better for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
So what do you feel about that May idea, though, of maybe for Jim, if he maybe...
Naturally, I would prefer it to be in April. But
okay.
I'll tell you why.
When in April do you want to do it?
Well, whenever they get me up to Portland. And I guess we've already missed April, haven't we? So we were looking at May.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, May would be the one. The thing that I'm looking at is that I feel it's just extremely important for everybody on Team Shiva to sit with each other, to get to know each other, to laugh with each other, to play with each other, to meditate with each other, to know who they're dealing with, Yeah, I just think that there's that this is essential.
And, I do too. Yep.
And so, yeah, I think if May's the first time, then that's the when we'll do it.
Okay.
I would prefer
so
it
do
earlier.
Do I have your blessing to send out a an
you
email
bet.
Or?
Absolutely.
I mean, I would prefer to do it earlier too. But if we think about logistics, you know, gosh, we're already almost at April 1st right now, so it may be best to wait till May.
May gives people plenty of time to set their schedule.
Right.
And
let's wait till May.
And I think if somebody doesn't make it in May, it's I think it's going to be telling, because you know I'm just curious as to who's going to readjust their schedule for this.
Yeah.
And if they're unwilling, you know, I felt that there were several people that should have been at the retreat at Several Falls.
Of course. Yeah.
That didn't show up, and I could name names, and but I don't need to. But it just seemed to me strangely that they were all going to different teachers. And we're not just talking about David. David was, you know, Master of Ceremonies. I understand that one. But they were going to other teachers who hold meetings all the time. And it just showed me what priorities were, and I think we need to know, you know. And so I think I'm very, very on board with that one. I think we could have a Friday night, we could have people fly in Friday night or Saturday. We could meet with them, I would like to have, with the team, Shiva, I would like to have a Friday night meditation, a Saturday morning breakfast, maybe a noon, I don't know, David could probably put together some sort of thing, and then maybe a Saturday night meeting at the Amritra Yoga Center with, you know, everybody in the local area and all of our team members. And then everybody could fly home on Sunday. So they're not missing out on a lot. But I think if we get them in there, and some people might not even be able to come in until Saturday morning, but we need to have a organizational meeting. We need to have a meditation with each other. We need to eat with each other. We need to
and
talk
play
with
and laugh. Yeah.
You know.
And connect.
So.
Okay. Well, so how about if I go ahead and because David and I already talked about this. Can I go ahead and invite it out then and get it rolling?
And you can tell them.
And David said he'd buy my ticket and get me over there, and I may have to.
There's a cone.
Honey, just a moment, all right? I'm almost done. I'll have to talk to him about it, but regarding my son.
Well, you know, Joey and his girlfriend has a little boy. I mean, it might be able to work out daycare
thing.
To
bring
there.
Him. Yeah. Or he may, may want to stay
there.
Right, because we're going to be sharing a house with James. So.
Oh well, that might be good, you know. And
yeah,
you know, my mother used to leave me with friends for while she would go on a spiritual retreat, and I'm still around, so I don't.
Exactly. Anyway, I don't have to share with you all the details about getting child care in mind, but I love you and I thank you so much. It was just beautiful tonight, and I see an email here from David Sawyer saying dynamite.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect anything less from him.
But he's honest.
So much. Yeah. So anyway, well, listen, I'll talk to you later, and good luck with that.
Let's check in tomorrow.
Yeah. You bet.
Let's check in.
Call me anytime tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. Namaste.
You are currently the only person in this conference.